Thank you, worship team, for leading us into the throne room together. Hallelujah. Thank you, tech team, for all you do as well, and everybody else involved. I don't know about you, but I just feel the sweet presence of God right now. It's just a calmness. So much just shifting and going on in our world and in our own lives. It's just nice to just chill for a moment, right? And just be with God for a second. You know, oftentimes we lose track of where to go because instead of asking, we just went. You know what I'm saying? Instead of asking God what we should do or where we should go, we just went. And then we ask God to join us. That's not how that works. We go where God wants us to go, and he joins us there. We don't go and ask God to bless something that he didn't intend for our lives in the first place. So I just felt that there's a readjusting in some people's lives right now. Something that you're battling and something that you're going through, there's a readjustment in your life that needs to take place. And God wants to give you that peace so that way when you go into that direction, he's already there. You don't have to beg him to show up. God, I need you here. And he's like, you're not supposed to be there. Right? Walk with God. Walk by faith. Everything will be all right. Even when it's not all right, it's all right. You know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Welcome to First Open Bible. The crowd grew. Hallelujah. Y'all grew during worship. Praise God. Thank you for joining us online and in the fellowship hall. It's good to have you today. Thank you for joining us for worship today. Pastor Mark, excellent job last week. Excellent. Excellent word, leading. Amen. As we both know, it's not just preaching. You did a great job while I was gone leading. There was a lot going on, and you did an excellent job. I appreciate that very much. It's a blessing when I can leave and know the church, God's people are in good hands and great decisions are being made. My name is Pastor Harris. If you didn't hear that in the beginning, I am the lead pastor here at First Open Bible. It's crazy to think that I started as the youth pastor getting close to 8 years ago. And yesterday marked 5 years since being a lead pastor. Let me tell you, it feels more like 15, 20. Let's just be honest. Yeah, I was like, 5 years, that's it? Oh my goodness, hallelujah. Y'all know what I'm saying, right? Some things, this is crazy to think about. Seems like so much longer, but it's been a blessing. My family, my wonderful family went on vacation, and we had a great time. We made a lot of memories with our two young children. It was a great time together, but we missed you. It's good to be back. In Cedar Rapids, it's good to be back, and there's no white demon, although I saw that Tuesday might snow. That is just mean. That is mean. It's wrong. You're exactly right. A moment of silence for how wrong that is. That is so wrong, right? Come on now. Well, here's our April theme. First Open Bible. It is generous. Here's the adjective definition of generous. Quote, showing a readiness to give more of something, as money or time, than is strictly necessary or expected. End quote. Let me read that again. Showing a readiness to give more of something, as money or time, than is strictly necessary or expected. That was very generous of you, right? Expected something and you went further. Generosity. Now, did you know that money and possessions are the second, church say second. Second most referred, that was half y'all. Second. Come on there. Still half of you guys, ready? I will bring this pulpit down there. All right, ready? Second. It's the second most referred to topic in the whole Bible. Can you believe that? 800 times money is mentioned in the Bible. 800. It's crazy. 11 of Jesus' 39 parables talks about finances. I'm going to give you some stats real quick because I like stats. I like geeking out on stats and numbers. That is 28% of every Christ parable recorded in the Bible was about money. Here's another way to say that. When Jesus was teaching on a parable, one out of four was about money. Here's another cool stat. One out of every seven verses of Jesus' words talks about money. One out of seven. Now, most of us have heard this. You know, here at First Open Bible, we don't talk about money very often. We don't. But most of us have heard this in our life at some point. You've heard this from somebody. I don't go to church anymore because all they do is talk about money, right? Anybody heard that before? Raise your hand. I don't go to church anymore. All they want to do is talk about money. Well, if that's all the church does talk about, that church is definitely out of line, way out of line. But if the church doesn't talk about money and possessions, that church is definitely out of line as well. Jesus thought money was so important. It was such an important topic that one out of four times he taught a parable, it was about money. Now, America. God bless America. Amen? Amen. America is known as the wealthiest country in the world. The United States of America makes up only 4% of the world's population. Right? We think we are big time in America. But we're only 4% of the world's population. 96% lives outside of America. 4% of the population, that's all that we are. But our global net worth in America is 30% of the world's net worth. What does that mean? 4% of the world's population holds 30% of the world's money. That's a little whack. That's a little whacked out, but that's truth. 4% of the world has 30% of the money. The global median income, right? If you don't live in America, here's how much money you earn per year. This is a median income. There might be more, there might be less. It's right in the middle. Just guess. Somebody guess how much somebody outside the United States of America makes per year. Go ahead. What do you think? $10,000, okay? What else? $20,000. $20? $20,000. $20,000. $13,000? What else do y'all think? $5,000. Okay, here it is. The median income is $2,000. You know what the median income is in America for a household? $63,000 a year. What does that mean? That places anybody who earns $63,000 in a household income at the 0.2 top percent of the richest people in the world. Here's the bottom of America. The poorest people in America, they have a yearly income of about $14,000. $14,000 is seven times richer than the average person in the world of $2,000 per year. Here's another way to say that. If you're a poor person in America, you're still seven times more rich than the average person in the world. Isn't that crazy? Can I get a crazy? That's crazy. But it's truth. We are so, so blessed, beyond blessed in America. Not only with our finances, but also with our possessions. Here's just one example of the possessions that we have. Many countries around the world have horrendous sanitation situations. Has anybody been on a mission trip before and it was hard to even find like clean water or somewhere that was really dirty? Raise your hand. Sanitation things were tough. You're like, I don't know if I should eat that. I saw where they just cooked that, right? Human waste is dumped into local water streams. These same streams that people bathe and drink from. What happens is this. Kids and adults, they get diseases. They get very sick of having a lack of a good toilet system. Think about how much we take for granted a working toilet here in America. Many villages around the world don't even have one working toilet for an entire village, let alone multiple toilets in one house. Did you ever think that a working toilet is a world luxury? Well, it is. Only 40% of the world's population has a toilet. That's 60%. More than half of the world's people don't have a toilet. Needless to say, Almost any person in the entire world would want to swap places with you in a heartbeat. Because of how blessed you are just for the mere fact that you live in America. You not only have the finances the world wished they had, but you also have the possessions beyond people's wildest dreams. People would give anything for just one toilet that worked in an entire village, so that way they can drink pure water, they can bathe in pure water, as opposed to the same water where everybody uses for everything. God bless the United States of America. Amen? But church, how are you blessing God in the United States of America? Will you please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 19? New Testament starts with four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I personally really like Luke because I'm a very literal person. I like numbers, I like specifics, I like things in order. And Luke was a doctor, and he likes to put things exact how they were. I mean, just right there. So we're going to look at a couple stories in Luke today. You open to Luke chapter 19. I'll tell you where we're going to go in just a moment. Last week, Pastor Mark, he preached an excellent message on April's theme, generous. I love how Pastor Mark spoke a little bit about Zacchaeus and his encounter with Jesus and how it changed Zacchaeus' life. Luke chapter 19 tells us that Zacchaeus was not only a tax collector, he was a chief tax collector, and he had become very rich. Very rich. Zacchaeus became very rich because he was a kingpin in Jericho's tax cartel. Zacchaeus was also a what? A wee little man. Come on. That right there was a Sunday school teacher that just shouted that, right? You might even have like a felt little thing in your purse that you pulled out. Wee little man. I remember putting him up there in that little tree. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a.k.a. he was very short. He's a little guy. He couldn't see in the crowd very well, so he could not see Jesus, right? You got people like me, 6'1", and you're like, ah, nice try, buddy, right? You know, you just can't see Jesus. Let's start in verse 5 here in just a moment. See, so what did he do? If you can't see Jesus, what he did is he ran ahead of the crowd, and Zacchaeus, he climbed up a sycamore fig tree to get a better look at Jesus. Here's what it says in verses 5 and 6. Luke 19, 5 and 6. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. Now, my study Bible says that Jesus gave him a piggyback ride. I'm just playing. I'm just playing. But he could have probably. Okay, that's just for me. That'd be my study Bible. Oh, my. But he was so excited. Zacchaeus, I'm going to go eat with you today. Get down. Let's go to your house. The guy went from, I can't even see him, to I'm going to his house. Now there's another familiar story of a different very rich man. Will you take your Bibles and go back one chapter in Luke 18 real quick? Just flip over. It might even be on the same page depending on your Bible. We're going to start reading in Luke 18, starting in verse 18, and we're going to read through 22. Once a religious leader, right? Somebody in church, somebody that loved Yahweh, somebody that was a religious leader, asked Jesus this question. Good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, why do you call me good? Jesus asked him, only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not commit adultery. You must not murder. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Honor your father and your mother. So the man replied back to Jesus and he said, I've obeyed all these commands since I was young. When Jesus heard his answer, he said, there's still one thing you haven't done. Sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Okay, so now we have two very rich people. One is half the man, right? He's just a little guy. And the other one, we don't really know how tall he is, but we know that they're both very rich. Each of these men probably had lots of possessions and lots of wealth, and they both encountered Jesus. Jesus steps in and enters into their life. But both of the outcomes are very different. Their generosity is also very different as well. Now, we just read a story, and some people call that the story of the rich young ruler. Okay, the rich young ruler, this is how his story ends. We're going to pick it up from the last verse that we just read. We read through verse 22. Now we're going to go to verse 23. We're going to go through 30. This is what it says in Luke 18. But when the man heard this, he became very sad, for he was very rich. When Jesus saw this, he said, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? In fact, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." Verse 26, those who heard this said, "Then who in the world can be saved?" He replied, "What is impossible for people is possible with God." Verse 28, Peter said, "We've left our homes to follow you." "Yes," Jesus replied, "and I assure you that everyone who gives up house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will be repaid many times over in this life and will have eternal life in the world to come." So this rich young ruler, he had great possessions, and that was his greatest barrier in following Jesus. He had a selfish attitude. He made an idol of his wealth, which actually broke the first commandment. Church, how we handle our money has everything to do with how we orient Jesus in our lives. This rich young ruler, he chose his wealth over Jesus. Now, there's a much different ending for Zacchaeus. Please turn back to Luke chapter 9. We're going to read the back half, the ending of his story. And it starts in verse 8, where we're going to pick up. So Luke 19, verse 8, we're going to read through 10. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, right? "I will give half of my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated any people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much." Verse 9, Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham." And I love this. A lot of times we quote this verse, but we don't know where it came from. Verse 10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." Church, for many people, salvation is directly tied to their wealth and what they do with it. But if you notice in these stories, it's not necessarily the money that ruined these people or could have ruined these two rich people. I think these people could have been Americans. Based on how, they said they're very rich, but you have to think about the culture around them that was pretty poor. So very rich in the Bible at that time might seem not so rich to us as Americans today. Here's the fact though, if money was actually the problem, everyone in America would be doomed. Y'all heard me, right? If money was actually the problem, y'all be doomed. I'd be doomed too. Americans could never follow Jesus because we're too rich. We're more rich than almost every single person in the entire world outside of America. But money wasn't the issue, right? People misquote this. Money is not the issue. It's the love of money that is the issue. It's the devotion to money that's the issue. It was the heart that was corrupted by money. Now we all, I don't know, anybody like rap in here? Raise your hand. Raise your hand like you like rap, which means you do this, right? And get a stank face or something. Okay. If you like rap, what does rap teach about, man? All the time. It's all about getting the paper. It's all about getting the money. Man, that's not the only music that does it. There's so much music. It's all centered around getting money. Now, you understand that music is very important, right? Do you remember what Lucifer's main job was in heaven before he was thrown down? He was the worship leader. It says that it's described, I can't remember what book it's in, that he has horns in his chest and drums, and he's beautiful. Music is powerful and influential in your life. What you put in your ears goes in your heart and into your soul, and it'll come out of your mouth. It'll come out of your life. Now, I like rap. I like R&B. Those are my favorite. I love gospel. I love all that. Now, I gave up all the secular stuff back in the 90s, right? That was a good year for all that, too. There was a decade. But I love all that, but you have to be careful what you're listening to because it influences your life. It changes your heart. It's not the money that's the issue. It's the heart that was corrupted by money. It's the heart that was not generous toward God. It was a heart that's not generous toward other people. I'm going to read the adjective definition of generous again. It's this, quote, showing a readiness to give more of something as money or time than is strictly necessary or expected, end quote. Church, did you know this? I'm sure you did. There's no such thing as a Christian Scrooge. There's no such thing. Being generous is having a heart that gives. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25 says this. Give freely and become more wealthy. Say what? Give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. And then you go one more verse in Proverbs 11, 25. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Come on now. You cannot claim to know Christ. You cannot claim to follow Christ and be a stingy person. It can't happen. They're opposites, or they should be. The true gospel of Jesus opens up our hearts to receive and opens up our hands to give. Generosity toward God is more than tithing to a church as well. Y'all heard me, right? Generosity is more than 10% to the church, the tithing principle. Giving 10% to God, it's a good thing. But that's not the point. The point is to be generous. Being generous is more than just giving money. You know what Christian giving is? We sang about it. Christian giving is about sacrifice. Everything we do to follow Jesus should be and is a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. Christian giving should be done in such a way that there are things that we forego in order to be generous. I remember when we could just barely pay the bills, right? And we just barely scraping by. And there was times that we had to give up something to be generous. If I had to give up going out to eat one day a week or one meal a week or whatever it is to make sure that I give back to God, we did it. If it was something that we had to sacrifice or we had to maybe buy food that we didn't necessarily like, but it was way cheaper so that way we could make it so we could give to someone else, we would do it. You have to forego some things. And sometimes you would get, like we would get birthday money, Christmas money, or a gift or something. And we were like, oh, what a blessing. And then God, my wife is very good at this, and God would say something to our heart, and we'd say, I'm going to give it to someone else. Or I'm going to share this with someone else in need. I know that they're going through something, so I want to give them something. Right? Sometimes you have to forego something in your life. Oftentimes you do, to be generous. If all you're doing is giving above your surplus, you're not being generous. You understand that? Generosity takes a sacrifice. Remember, being generous is all about the heart as well. And where your heart is, your time, your talents, and your treasures will be there also. For a Christian, the issue is not just that we give, right? Some of us are good at giving. Anybody in here like a good giver? You're so good you don't even want to raise your hand. That's how good you are. So, I'm too humble. I'm way too humble. You have the gift of giving. You're hospitable. Anybody have that gift? Raise your hand. Okay, keep your hand really raised. That's awesome. Keep them raised. Everyone else, we're going to go to their house today. They're going to make a meal today. I'm just playing. No, but that's what an awesome gift. My wife has that gift. She's very generous. She's a great host. It's contagious. That's right. Better than Eon. Hallelujah. Watch this. Ah, you hiding it. Okay, all right, cool. It is, giving is contagious. Come on now, amen. Remember though, it's about your heart. See, for Christians, the issue is not just that we give, but how. 2 Corinthians 9:7. This is the corner piece of this sermon. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Giving with a cheerful heart, it's always going to come out of this source. The source is this: the most generous thing that has ever happened in the world. Here's your source of a cheerful giver. That Christ himself, our Savior, and the Father's greatest treasure, his one and only Son, gave himself up for us so we could be saved. Here's what 2 Corinthians 8:9 says. I love this. Dig into this week if you want to. Dig into what this means. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. AKA, Jesus gave it all so you could have everything. If Jesus could open up his hands and take our nails, church, we should be glad to open up our hands and give everything else we can back to him. It's in the remembering of what Jesus actually did with his incredible generosity that makes our hearts cheerful. Our hearts are cheerful that we would even have an opportunity, that we'd even have a possibility to be able to give something generous back to him. God, literally, I have nothing. I'm lost. I'm broken. I'm bound for hell. You step in. You be more generous than anyone will ever be generous to me. And you give up all of you. Father in heaven, you sent your son Jesus out of your generosity. This was a plan before the foundations of the world that you would do such a thing, that you'd send your son Jesus to the world because you knew I would sin. You knew I would sin. That I would become poor, nothing else to give. that you'd send all your riches, all your treasures, and you'd wrap it in a manger. So that way, your son can grow up and die for me and be raised from the dead so I can become rich again. That's generosity. If there's anything I can do in my life to give back to that, Lord, let it be. Change my heart to be generous like you are. Here's one of the most powerful effects of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the freeing of our fingers to loosen the grasps of all of our goods and money. One of the most powerful effects is to say, wow, speak to my heart so I can just do this. Whoop, right? Whoop. Okay. Oh, yeah. Whoop, right? God, keeps coming in. Okay. Whoop. What did I just read a second ago? I just read this. It had something to do with a whoop. Okay. Give freely. Whoop. Whoop. And become more wealthy. See, that's how the kingdom of God works. The kingdom of man works that hold everything you can, bury it in the ground, keep it in the bank, and store it all up and get ready to retire, right? You know you don't retire in the kingdom of God, right? Okay, that's an American thing, just so you know, okay? It's okay if you're retired. I'm just saying, yeah, that's good. I'm just saying that when you retire, you better refire, right? That's what she just said. You better, now you're like, praise God, I'm not bound by work anymore. Now I'm free to go and do whatever you want me to do. Praise God, right? Keep it coming. Get that 401k so I can bless Jesus and his kingdom. Hallelujah. I can bless my family. I can bless my friends. And I can bless my church. And I can send it to the nations. I can send it to the neighborhood. I can send it to wherever we're going. And we can do whatever we got to do. Why? Because I want to be generous. And some of us don't have a lot of money, but we got stuff. And some of y'all that raised your hands, maybe the bank account doesn't say it, but you're rich. You're so hospitable. You are so rich. You got some things to give that I couldn't give because I'm not that good at being hospitable like you and thoughtful, right? Are Robin and Craig here? Here this morning? No? Okay, maybe they're online. Robin and Craig, when we went through what we went through, it's incredible. I probably will cry. When my wife broke her ankle, they were there every single day. Robin would clean our house and make us food every single day. And then her husband was going around doing all the work that I was supposed to be doing around the house, fixing things, putting stuff together, you know. And then Derecho came and just messed the whole thing up. Y'all know what I'm saying. Just messed it all up. And then he's going around there and he's fixing things that I don't have time for because I'm trying to take care of my wife and my family and all that's going on. They were so generous, I can't even tell you. It was incredible. There's people just like that that might not have a lot of money in the bank account, but they got a lot more to give than most people would ever even think or imagine to do. Generosity is more than just money. Generosity is one of the greatest evidences of truly being a Christian. Acts 20, verse 35 says this, "And I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed," read it with me, "to give than to receive." Jesus said that. Not the bumper sticker you all saw. Yeah, Jesus said that first, right? Church, we must also remember. Now, if you get anything from today, I want you to know this. We don't own anything, but we steward everything. All right, look at me. We don't own anything, but we steward everything. What a gift God has given us to be Americans. What a gift God has given us for those who are parents and you have your child for a short period of time. What a gift it is to be a family member, to have the family that we have, or friends, or what a gift it is to have a church that we can come with these lights on and all this that we have and online. What a gift it is that you have a phone today. You know, half the world wish they could have a phone or a tablet or an iPad or a TV or whatever. Dental insurance, right? They don't even have that in Canada. Hallelujah. Sorry, Canadians. I guess you have to buy that privately. Anyway. But we are so blessed in America, it's ridiculous. We don't even know it. We don't even know it. And God is saying to us today, how are we being generous to Him? How are we walking out in our life with generosity? As an American, we have more to steward than most anyone else in the entire world has to steward. Who likes garage sales? Think about a garage sale for a second. There are not garage sales in other countries. We have so much junk that we sell it for pennies on the dollar because we're so blessed. And then we think we're blessed because we just bought a $50 thing for $5. Hallelujah. They don't even know how much this is worth. Like, I guess I'll pay it. And then you just run back to the car and you're like, right? You know what I'm saying? Pastor Stevens knows what I'm saying, right? Garage sale king right there. Hallelujah. Did you see that tool that I just got? You got 12 of those. I know, but he gives them away. Hallelujah. It's just crazy to think, if you just stop for a second, we just think about our lives. Just think about our lives for a moment. Man, we got a lot of chaos. Politics are jacked. I mean, it is messed up. It's hard to even turn on the news to listen to anything. There's all this racial divide and COVID junk, and it's just so much junk going on. But just like sit back and like, but you know about it because you got a TV and internet. Other worlds are just like, what? I don't know anything that's going on in my country. I don't know anything outside of my village that has ever happened in the history. I don't even know how to read. I'm so blessed. It's incredible. So blessed. We have been blessed with finances and possessions that most people dream about. What has your heart decided to do with all that you have? What has your heart decided to do with all that you have? Don't you love giving gifts away to people? Like, it's cool giving a gift, but man, it's something special when you know that person needed something or wants something, and then you go and secretly get it and you give it to them, and that look on their face. There is nothing in this world that can replace that. Why? Because Jesus taught us what we just read about in Acts 20, 35, they just reminded us of Jesus' words. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Christians should be the most generous people in the entire world. But we got too many Christian Scrooges. We cannot hold tightly. Because when you give back to God, and you give to God's people, and you give to bless people, you become rich. I don't get it, but it's the way God works. It's like giving 10% and 90% becomes like 150%, right? That's how tithe works. Like, here's tithe. I gave 10% of everything. You know, most of the time you say gross. So whatever you earned, not whatever comes to your paycheck, whatever you earned, right? I give 10% of that to God and my 90% just blows up. Like, how did 90 become like 160, 180? I don't know how that happened. I don't know. That bill just got paid. There's money that showed up in my mailbox, right? Didn't happen to Cliff, like a whole bunch, like a few years ago. He told me, he came in office, like, it just keeps coming, all this money. I just keep giving away, and it just keeps coming in. Like, you hear about these stories. I want to be a part of that. You want to be a part of that? I want to be a part of those stories. When you encounter an opportunity to be generous, like Zacchaeus had an opportunity, like the rich young ruler had an opportunity, you're going to be in front of Jesus with a choice. You're going to have to choose in whom you're going to serve. The Bible says in Luke 16:13, "No one can serve two masters. Either you hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." You can't do it. I'm going to rap about it right now. Ready? Give me a beat. I'm just playing. It's going to go viral. No, it's viral because it's so awful. It makes you sick. Hallelujah. That's a different kind of viral. Hallelujah. Worship team, will you come up? Y'all caught that just for a second there. I just changed the definition of the word. Okay, cool. All right. Worship team, will you please come? While they come, church, will you stand? I'm going to do something as we close today. By the way, it's awesome to see such a wonderful crowd in the house today. It's good to know. You know, COVID's real. COVID's out there. COVID stinks, right? It's awful. It's dumb. I want it out. I want it gone in the name of Jesus. We all do. We all just move on. But the fact of the matter is, when you have stuff in your life, you got to deal with it. You got to roll with it, and you got to ask God what he wants to do in it. So here we are. It's good to see you in the house. Good to see you online. I'm so glad that you're joining us. And even if you're in the overflow room is mask mandatory. So anybody who feels like they want to come to church, but they want to be around people wearing masks. See, there's only a handful of people wearing in here. It's not quiet in here, but we'd love it if you want to wear it. If not, whatever. But y'all can wear it over there, and everybody's going to wear it over there, so you have a safe place to be. But I want to do something for you today. I want to pray for you, okay? I'm going to extend my hands as if I was just laying my hands on you and praying for you. But I'm going to pray for you right now. And this is what I want to pray. That this week, you're going to be given many, church, say many. Many opportunities to be generous to both God and to other people. Okay? Some of y'all are a little bit nervous, right? I'm not used to open up that wallet or that checkbook. That's okay. Or open up the garage sale, or open up the closet that will be a garage one day, or even your most prized possession. See, it even says that if somebody asks for your shirt or your tunic, you give them another one. You give them more. Say, go 1 mile. How many miles are you supposed to go? No. I got good shoes on today. I'm going 2, right? And God wants us to be generous, to go above and beyond, and not just people that you love. Because the world can love people who love you. Christians are generous to people that don't even like you. You've been there. It's not easy. It's awful, especially when they don't give the response that you're expecting. Here's one thing about being generous as well, all right? There's a little teaching. If you're going to be generous to receive something back, you're not generous at all. You're actually selfish. Giving is not to receive. Giving is to give. So if you want to give something, don't expect anything back. If they don't give you the attitude that you wanted or the response that you wanted or even give you something back, that's okay. That's not why you did it. And if that's why you did it, you gave for yourself. You didn't even give to them. Give to them because you love them and God loves them. And he showed his generosity with his son Jesus that we have to give back as well. And whatever it takes, God, lead us in that, right? And all those people that raised their hand that are going to have all these people over their house to eat a meal today, God, may you overflow their kitchen with food. Hallelujah. Some of y'all saw their hands are like, uh-huh, I'm going to that house. I know they're a good cook. Amen. So, Sue Enyart, we'll meet you at your house. Hallelujah. Chris Coleman, all you ladies that know how to cook. I'll say, I didn't do another belt loop for nothing. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to extend my hands. I'm just going to pray that this is the week of generosity to flow out of your life like never before. Like never before. And you're going to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. But here's the most important thing. Christians were supposed to give. But here's the most important thing. You're going to say, yes, Lord, with what kind of heart? Cheerful heart. A cheerful heart. Let me pray for you. Father, I just thank you for this service. I thank you for this message. I thank you for the generosity that comes from the top down. It comes from heaven down to us each and every day, all the time. Even when we don't understand things in our own life and there's a mess in our own life or there's hurt in our own life, we understand that we serve a good God who gives good gifts to his children, and you love us. I pray for an opportunity to each and every person, including myself, right now, and everybody online, everybody in the overflow, everybody who hears this in the future, even if it's not today or even this week, in the future. May this be the week, the day, the hour that we not only are generous, but we're generous with a cheerful heart. I thank you for all that you've given. Who are we that you are mindful of us? Then I'm reminded later in the word that we're your sons and daughters if we serve Jesus. That's who we are. We're mindful. You're mindful of us even before the foundations of the world that Jesus Christ would come and die for us through his generosity. So right now we choose to die to you, to gain life, and to be generous with the rest of our life. May you bless us right now. Be led by your Spirit. And we just open up whatever it is that you have for us, even if we're going to be generous with our mouth and be kind to people this week, to say good things to people who hurt us, to say things to people and just speak out with our generosity. It's going to overflow. I pray for a bubbling right now by the power of the Holy Spirit. Bubble up right now, bubble up. Bubble up something inside of us. Bubble up joy and peace and love and kindness, God. Bubble up something inside of us that makes us walk with a pep in our step, even though our life is a mess or things around, but we are full of your joy and that we bubble up, God, and as we become more generous, more bubbles come and we feel more of that. And God, that it just overflows. Bubble up till overflow. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.